Amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, let me go back here to Isaiah chapter 6. And remember now the king Uzziah has died. He's the king in Judah. And it's around 740 B.C., 700 years before our Lord was born. And Isaiah was caught up with the king and hoping that things would proceed better in the Israel. But, of course, that didn't happen. Now, point. Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah is reminded and refreshed of his commission. And sliding down to verse 3, I'll read verse 1 actually. And in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. In other words, God, you're filling the whole earth with your marvelous person. Verse 3. And the seraphim, and one cried unto another, and said, Holy, 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 he is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. So, Isaiah is looking to God. Isaiah understands God is over in charge of everything, including Israel and its Assyrian captivity, etc. And the Assyrian captivity is going to be followed in 586 by the Babylonian captivity. And that's 136 years later, approximately. Now, so Isaiah is sent. Remember verse 8, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And then said I, Here am I, send me. Now, he volunteered to be sent to do whatever God had in mind. And he was going to go to the people of Israel. And thus I'm going to read, so I won't, in verse 9. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Now, he wants to know how long, and he's going to be there. He's going to have to do this. And he's going to have no results. He's going to go to the people of Israel. Is it going to stop the Assyrian captivity in 722? Nope. Is the forewarning to the people 100 years later, is that going to help the people in Jerusalem and Judah? Nope. They aren't going to pay attention either. So Isaiah, and boy, all those you put it forth one chapter after another. Verse 11. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitants, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. So God, his whole ministry is one to people, and the people, they're going to see it in a negative way. They aren't going to be positive about it at all. They're going to be negative. So here's the 10 tribes, and they go, Assyria, the two tribes into Babylonian captivity. And it all, so now, having said that, point after point, word after word, chapter after chapter, Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Remember, it's all about the Messiah, the Christ, who would be crucified. Chapter 53 of Isaiah, verse 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? In other words, is there going to be any receptivity by the people having given all this information? And the response, as you know, in verse 2, I'll read verse 3, hit it directly. He is despised and received of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our face from him. He was despised and was esteemed, and we esteemed him not. Now, what are they going to do? You're going to reject the Messiah when he comes. That's correct. So Isaiah's ministry, looking ahead to Israel, all the way ahead, it's all going to go downhill, A. And B, the Messiah is going to be lifted up, but they're going to reject him in totality, except for a remnant. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, over if you would please, in your Bible, to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew in chapter 11. Now this is going about 2 years, 28 months into his ministry. He hasn't come to the end, but he's there looking, dealing with the people. Now, you'll pick up the fragrance of it so that you know they didn't listen to John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, repent. They didn't listen to our Lord when he said it, and they didn't listen to the disciples. Now, Matthew chapter 11, picking up, if I may, in verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities, wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Now, underline in your mind, mighty, there's all kinds of evidence, mighty works, all kinds of things that would have to get your attention to pay attention. Verse 21. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Again, God, all kinds of evidence, mighty works. Verse 22. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted and unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have repented, remained until this day. Now, all kinds of evidence, more than Sodom, and if they had all the evidence, and thus they are guilty. Guilty, guilty, guilty. All kinds of stuff. Isaiah, you said it. You projected into the future, and it's all not, as a nation, they are not going to respond. And thus, you come over to chapter 11, and it's in that context you have the words, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come. Remember in the Gospel of John, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, John 1:11. But to as many as received him, whoever you are, what are you saying now? What did you say then? The people are rejecting, but is there anyone that would come unto me and find rest? That's what God's looking for. Anyone, or whosoever. Now, having said that, a little bit, over to chapter 13, which you read. And in chapter 13, remember, he gives the parable of the sower. And in chapter 13, verse 9, the whole point is to have an ear to hear. Verse 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Are you listening, reaching out your ear, as it were, to be an ear witness, to pay attention? That's what I want to know. Are you paying attention to what I'm telling you? And thus they wondered about parables, as you read, and he gave them parables because they weren't in the place to take it directly, and so he gave them very simple illustration. And as you read, verse 13, 14, 15, all of that is quoting from Isaiah chapter 6. And is chapter 6, Isaiah, still valid? Absolutely. All the way till the cities be desolate and wasted, all the way down the line. So God, there's no, you certainly clued us in. Now going down the corridor. So now, and to the disciples, verse 16, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. A lot of people would have liked to know what you know, verse 17, for verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Now, you are privileged, Peter, James, and John. You're all privileged to hear this. I'm helping you. In fact, I'm going to help you understand the parables. I'm going to do all of that for you. And remember now, pick up the little word, if I can, in verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed. The little word L-E-S-T, no, means no, never, no, we don't want to, do not in any way, we do not want in any way to be bothered with this, never, lest, what, we don't want to ever have to change, be converted, to understand in our heart and be converted and be healed. We don't want that. We're determined the hardness of heart. We have set ourselves as a nation to go the course that we're on. Way back here with Isaiah, all the way to the crucifixion of Christ, it's our heart set. So when we come now to the Gospel of John and John chapter 12, John is living at he's the last living apostle, as you know, and he's going to go, and he's going to help everyone understand biblical history, secular history, all about God, and how God has worked, and how people have responded. So now, and remember now, we share together, this is just about when he hit verse 44 to 50, chapter 12, that's his last public message to people. That's his last one. You ain't going to say any more. So you're going to sum up for us. I am, said the Lord. I'm going to sum up my ministry, how it has been received, and the last thing I'm going to tell you is how it's going to end. Now, and thus, as we shared in chapter 12, verse 33, all the way from verse 20, to verse 33, he has explained to them, the Gentiles and the Jews, that he has to be crucified. If you're going to know him, you're going to have to follow him all the way to the cross, because you couldn't possibly have a relationship to God apart from him. Apart from him, there's no way to get to God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one's coming to the Father except by me. You have to know me. How? Why? Because I have to die for the sin of the world, and in order for you to even approach God, to have a saving, safe, satisfying relationship, you're going to have to believe and understand who I am. I have taken you to the cross. And that's what chapter 12, verse 23, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, all the way down, it's all about that. You want to know me? I'm going to go to the cross in just a few hours, so hang around. Know me now. Listen to me now. Otherwise, it's too late. You'll be in the dark. That's the last time I'm telling you. And in verse 33, chapter 12, and this he said, signifying what death he should die. So therefore, very clear, very awesomely, and the people responded, remember, we shared together, at the end of verse 34, the Son of Man must be lifted up, and they said, when the Lord said that, and they said, who is this Son of Man? That's what they said. Who is he? He just used the term, I'm the Son of Man. Well, who is this one? Now, that's their thinking. Now, as you slide down, and we did, Now, are they believing? No, they're not believing. Is that new? Should we understand that as we come to the end of the Bible? All that God says? God, is that some strange thing? No, he quotes Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 37. Though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Miracle after miracle, sign after sign, feeding, healing, all kinds of things beyond number. And the numbers are incalculable. We don't have them. We know thousands of people were in front of him. And he did wonderful things to them. To the what number? Unknown. You can bet your boots. You can bet if you were there and you had a problem and when he was doing, you bet you got the benefit. You bet you did. You bet you did. God was demonstrating who he is. Wow. So now, having said everything like that, what is the explanation for the hardness of their heart? Verse 38, that the saying of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, the Lord hath believed, who hath believed our report, Isaiah 53, verse 1, and in whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed. Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, and there's verse, Isaiah chapter 6, 9, 10, and hath blinded them eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should be healed. Now we shared all that. And, verse 41, these things said Isaiah, when he saw his glory, and spake of him. So, John went way back. God already told you what people were going to do. He told you how it was going to go. And they're going to get, with all of the wonderful, wonderful miracles and signs, think of Chorazin, Bethsaida. Wow, if they had been done in you, Sodom would have still been around. Now, so in the light of that, we now come, if we can, in chapter 12, picking up, if I may, in chapter 12, verse 42. Chapter 12. Now remember, their eyes have been blinded. I should remind you, verse 40. They are blind. Remember, you know the little thing. If 2 Corinthians 4. If you don't believe, your mind gets dark. If you don't allow your eyes to open, you don't see. If you don't let God heal your sight, you're blind. Nothing to it. You're unbelieving. You don't see. No, you don't. Why? Because you don't believe. You don't want to get healed. You don't want to have eyesight. No, I don't. Then you don't. That's all. Now, and they see with eyes and understand with their heart. And remember now, we shared together that Pharaoh's heart, see with their heart, like in Isaiah 6, their heart got very, very hard like marble, stone, and it got heavy, heavy quality. And we shared all of that together last time, because that's what happened. And we shared Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh's heart, remember the word hard means great, great, greater in quantity, greater in quality. Rich, glorious, heavy, 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 worthy, weighty, all those W's, heavy, worthy, weighty, the heart, something. So Abraham is rich. See how much he has, thus rich, glorious. God, you're glorious, that's right. Pharaoh's heart, he got heavy, but he got heavy by unbelieving. He wasn't believing, he was unbelieving. And Pharaoh's heart, and God said, I'm going to make his heart hard. How? Because he wouldn't let my people go. And I told them to let him go at the very beginning. And he didn't do it. And he didn't do it. And I kept telling him, they're going to be let go. I tell you to let him go. Each time he told Pharaoh to let him go, Pharaoh said no. No, and the no got bigger and bigger and bigger with a big no. And his heart got harder and harder and harder. Why? It got weighty. All of those negatives, all of that unbelief piled up and piled up, piled up, piled up in his heart. On the other end of the coin, hold your finger here, over to 1 Samuel. If you would, to see it directly again. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And you will note, chapter 2, verse 30, and wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith to Eli, etc., I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But since you are unbelieving, and your sons, now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me, there's your little word glory in the Old Testament, honor, glory, them that honor me, glorify me, them that honor me, I will honor, it's intensive, both the words, verbs intensive, I will honor them. They will honor me, and I will honor them. And they that despise me, to think light of me, shall be lightly esteemed. Now there's your little word, glory, in the Old Testament. And if you glorify me, now put it together. Pharaoh, the word glory, hard, rich, quantity, quality. Instead of receiving all of the benefit, let my people go, he said, no, 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 no. His heart got weighty with all of that, all those words, all those miracles, all those signs using it, pile up inside of him, and he's got a negative, negative, negative. His heart was very hard. Now God said in Samuel, if you honor me, Samuel did honor him. And Samuel honored him. There's the same word. The difference is, speak, Lord, think of 1 Samuel 3, speak, Lord, for thy servant, what? Hears. And he didn't have a negative to what God said. He received it. So every time God said something, he believed. He believed in his heart. And God, and his heart got was on, God was honored because he allowed to pile up in his heart a wonderful understanding of God. God said it, the God of the heavens who created the heavens and the earth. And he honored him. Pharaoh dishonored him. The difference was, what are you doing with what God said? Matthew 13:9, hear my word. Are you hearing what I tell you? I am, but it's all negative. That means hard heart. Hard heart. I'm hearing what you said. Positive, that means a good heart. A good heart. Good ground to plant on. Now, back over to John and chapter 12. Oh, on your way. What a great thought. Isaiah chapter 29. We'll hit the target. Isaiah 29, if I can, in verse 13. 29 and 13. Directly, you'll catch the little words again. Wherefore, the Lord said, remember this is Isaiah still, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, there's your little word, they speak of me with their lips, but have removed their heart, remember, their heart has no understanding, but remove their heart from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. What do people think about God? How do people honor God? How do people honor God in your house? How's that? How do people honor God in wherever you are? It's your honoring, my honoring of God. They're going to respect God as much as I do. Hopefully more than I do. What evidence are you giving to the children, to young people, to anybody? God is awesome. He's to be honored. And that's why you've got a whole world that the Bible is turned out of the churches, and we're biblically illiterate more than ever before in history. Now, so here's John, in a most wonderful way, back over to John 12 again. And in John chapter 12, if I can, over in verse 42, 12 and 42. In order to get that, you need to get the movement. You see the word nevertheless, 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 nevertheless. Wow. Nevertheless, in spite of verse, I'm going to read, think of verse 40. They didn't believe, they hardened their heart. Nevertheless, and yet, there is an exception. They don't believe, but John makes a note that there was an exception. What exception? Verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. Among the chief rulers. Now, so all of it was darkening. Men loved darkness rather than light because the deeds were evil. And all of the many works and all of the many things that he did were not totally rejected. No, some believed. Some believed. Some were believing. The word believed, to be persuaded, remember. To be confident. To be convinced. Some believed. And they believed on him, into him. They believed in the direction of him. But they did that. They did that, believed in the direction of him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. So now, I want to catch that part of it, since it's important. They believed on him, but... Now, were they saved, or weren't they saved? Now, I want to answer that myself. So now, over to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. They certainly want to get saved, but they got a problem, as you'll see. So the Gospel of John, chapter 2, picking up, if I may, in verse 23. You'll remember it. Our Lord did his first miracle in the temple and all of that. Second miracle, if you call that. And in verse 23, chapter 2, verse 23, Gospel of John. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. They did believe. Just like you have in John chapter 12, the many believed. Many of the rich ruled. They're the Sanhedrinists. They're the people that are there in the Sanhedrin. That's the highest court, the highest prestigious position as a Jew would have from a human standpoint. And so therefore, verse 23, they saw the miracles which he did. They believed. But Jesus did not commit, and there's your word believe, he did not believe himself unto them. He didn't believe them. They believed him, but he didn't believe them. No, he didn't. No, because he did not commit himself to them, because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of him, of man, for he knew what was in man. So humans didn't need to tell him who he was. He knew who he was. And they believed, but not enough. They believed. They certainly were in the right direction. No question about it. Chapter 8. Chapter 8. And in verse 31. Pick it up again. You'll remember it. I'll read verse 30. 8:30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If and you may or may not, third class, if you may, you may or may not do it. If you continue in my word, abide, then are you my disciples indeed. In other words, you're headed in my direction, the little preposition, to go in the direction of something and then rest down in it. To move into the room and stop and stay there and sit down. That's the little word. Now, you're headed in the right direction, but you aren't far. You got to get far enough in and sit down. They aren't doing that. Therefore, verse 32, you are my disciples indeed if you did that, but, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, are they believing? No, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? They had an argument. They believed, but they didn't believe. Lots of people do that. I believe, but I don't believe. I believe the Bible, but. I believe this, but. You got a whole lot of belief, but you don't. You don't. I sit in church, but I don't go that far. I don't go that far. I might even read my daily bread, but I don't go that far. Now, verse 8, you'll see it. Verse 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth in the house, and the servant abideth in the house forever. But the son, but the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the son, verse 36, if the son, if it may be true and it may not be true, if the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You guys believe, but you don't believe. Aha, you don't believe. No, but you do, but you don't. Over, if you would please, John chapter 9. John 9, remember the blind man who was given his sight. And in the process, they were all concerned for him that he really, the Lord didn't heal him, et cetera, which is silly because they knew he was blind and he could see. But they wouldn't give credit to God for healing him. Chapter 9, if I can, in verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered, the blind man that isn't blind, he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him? I remember, he couldn't see the Lord when the Lord healed him, because the Lord sent him blind over to the pool. So here's the blind man saying, as he stood in front of the Lord, well, who is he? And our Lord said directly, simply, who is he? Verse 36, he said, what is he, Lord, that I might believe in him? Verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen me, and it is he that talketh with thee. And thus, verse 38, and he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. That's what he did. He believed. And then he went, the people that were testing him, they didn't believe, he believed. Once he was exposed, here's the Lord, I am the Lord, I did it. I believe. That's what he did. He did. The Pharisees and them, they didn't want to believe that. They didn't want to honor that at all. So now, chapter 11. God, what are you going to do? I'm going to help them. John 11, and picking up, if I can, in verse 15. I am glad, remember now, Lazarus has died. They're on the way across the Jordan to the house in Bethany. I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. To the intent, to the purpose, on account of what? That you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Now, I told you, I'm holding back. I want you to believe. I want you to believe me, who I am. You'll pick it up if the Lord tarries a few days. Now, we're going to do it. Now, over, if I can, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoso liveth and believeth in me, verse 26, shall never die. Believest thou this? I'm doing this to help you believe. It's about God. It's about believing. That's right. And the reason I'm not going to do it is I want you to believe me. That's why I'm telling you ahead, so you believe. So when I tell you again, I'm not telling you I'm going to raise Lazarus. I want you to know, will you believe me? And here's Lazarus dead. He's still dead when he's talking to them, to Martha and Mary, Martha, and he's still talking, and Lazarus is dead. Do you believe me? I did all of this to help you understand who I am. That's the whole point, to understand who I am. Now, in verse 39, remember, Jesus said, 11:39, take ye away the stone, and Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been there 4 days, remember, on preparation, it's going to get in a very hot weather, etc. Martha, did you believe I am the resurrection and the life, and you didn't believe, did you? No? Well, let me go take it a step further. I'm going to raise Lazarus out from the grave. Will you believe then? And she said, well, I don't believe. He can't come out. You still don't believe. No, nope. I'm going to help you some more. So Lazarus walked out. They unwrapped him. And Lazarus said, hi. And Martha had to believe. They took him home and gave him some soup and a sandwich. And wow, that's what they did. Martha, do you believe now? I do. Are you believing in me? Do you understand who I am? No, they didn't. They didn't do that. No. And without taking time, he had looked up Nicodemus and that. Nicodemus, did you believe? No. Well, I'll do it. Chapter 12. If I can, chapter 12. And in chapter 12, verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, the Sanhedrin, and many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. And they didn't want to have that happen. Over, if you would, hold your finger here quickly, chapter 9 and verse 22. Remember, 9 and 22, to the blind man. And his parents, why didn't his parents should have known that he could, God did it? Well, they couldn't honor it because they were afraid. Of what? Chapter 9, verse 22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Do you know what being put out of the synagogue means? Worship, fellowship, your job, your friends, everyone, you're rejected. Rejected to be put out of the synagogue. And what are you guys, verse chapter 12, verse 42, you want to believe, but you don't want to believe far enough to confess him, because then you'd be put out of the synagogue by the Pharisees. And you'd lose. You aren't afraid of dying, being part of him, and they're going to kill him. You aren't afraid of dying? No, we're afraid of being put out of the synagogue. We don't want to be put out. Where would we go? To shop, to worship, our friends, our family, people we go to school with, people we live with. What's going to happen? We can't afford to have that happen. And it didn't. And they never went that far. They went close, but they wouldn't pay the price to confess him. Now, over if you would please. And I'll read verse, put out of the synagogue, verse 42. Verse 43. For they loved the praise, the glory of men, more than the praise, the glory of God. That's what they did. They wanted that which men give to people. Give to people encourages their pride, their position. Identify, here you are. We're so glad. We want to be liked. We want to be noted. We want to be recognized. And if we confess Him, we're out. And thus, we don't want the honor, the glory that comes from God. We want the glory that comes from people. Why do we do what we do most of the time? To be recognized in some way, shape, or form. To have some security that we are somebody. Why do we need to be somebody? Because we haven't discovered the somebody that God created you to be. The somebody that God created you to be. You haven't discovered that. Oh, no. Now, in the light of that, so they don't want to be punished, etc. And the problem is they'd be put out of the synagogue. And thus, do you know how many people that want to look at God and talk about God? And well, hold your finger here, we got a minute. Over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew in chapter 10, picking up, if I may, in thought. They're going to confess. The word confess means to say the same thing together with somebody else. God, what do you keep saying? I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am, I am, I am, I am, I am. What's the believer doing? They agree. They say the same thing about Him that He says about Himself. He's God. Wow. Now, quickly, Matthew chapter 10, if I may, picking up verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father in heaven. If you honor me as your Master and Lord, I will honor you before my Father. If you won't honor me, I will not honor you before my Father. You're going to say you're mine, but you aren't mine. You talk about being mine. You come close to being mine, but you never get to be mine. You must confess me. We confess with our lips that Jesus Christ, John 10, 9 and 10, we confess He is Lord. A confession comes out of your mouth. When was the last time you heard anyone give a confession of Christ? It goes years. And until we ask somebody, are you saved and why are you saved? They never say anything. You have no idea. I bet you. Even here, among us. Whoever says it, why are you saved? We never confess. I am. I agree. The one I have believed is none other than God. I believe. That's why I told you all those foreign things to the world. To when you see the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory. God in you. That's hard to believe, isn't it? And that's what you believe, you receive Jesus Christ. He's God. And if you can't acknowledge that, then God said, that's what I want. You acknowledge that I am who I am. And they don't. They don't. We talk about it, but we don't do it. And everyone around us, you never hear. We're obligated. Over to John. 1 John. If I can. 1 John. And picking up, if I may, in the light of that, chapter 4, for time's sake. Chapter 4, verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth, there's your little verb, that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Verse 3. Every spirit that confesseth not, N-O-T, that Christ is come in the flesh, is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. It's already there. Verse 15. Whosoever shall confess, there's your little verb, that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. That's what it's about. But you haven't got that far, you Pharisees. Nicodemus and them are going to get there, but it's going to take the resurrection, it's going to take the burial, and then they're going to go and get the body. They're going to put themselves publicly out there, Joseph of Arimathea. They're going to go do that, but not until, boy. Now, so God, what are you looking for? They believed, but they didn't believe far enough. They didn't believe far enough. We got a whole pile of people that don't believe far enough. And I never knew you. I never knew you. That's sobering. I got to tell you, it's sobering. Wow. And 2 John. 2 John, verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess, there's your little word, confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. You have to understand, what is the issue? It isn't Jesus is a nice guy and he died. The issue is what? Jesus Christ died and rose again. He's God. The Word became flesh and what? Dwelt among us. Do you understand? God in the flesh. All we like the flesh part, the cross part, not the God. Do you understand? The infinite, holy, awesome God, he died. Wow. And the dumb people, not dumb. Not dumb. Wow. You know what? Philippians. And every Isaiah 45, Philippians 2. And every knee in heaven and earth and under the earth will honor my name that I am the Lord. Everyone, everywhere will call me Lord. Do you know who I am? I'm God in the flesh. Jesus, a nice guy. No, sir, he's God. And that's the whole point. John, Isaiah, they don't believe, they don't believe. We're in a world of unbelieving. We're living in a day of grace that's unbelief, darkness. Men love darkness rather than light. Wow. Over, if you would, in closing. Remember now, they love the praise, the glory of people. They want that which people confer. They don't want the glory that God confers. Now, over to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. I have to stop, but hope you got a little bit. It's an awesome thing. You know, people don't think about it. We just like an easy, go. A little bit of belief here, a little belief there. Isn't it all right? No, it isn't all right. It's all right to live like this with each other. But the minute the clock stops ticking, man, where are you then? What happens to our relationship? There is no more relationship. It's all over. So we fudge in it. Well, we don't want to be Catholic, communist, cultist. We'll be Christian. We're Christian. No, I need to be a saved Christian. A believing Christian. Who've received God in Christ as my Savior. Now, John 17. Our Lord's wonderful wonder. Remember, the glory which God would give. They didn't want that glory. They didn't want the what God would do. When you receive the Lord as your Savior, and you know Him as your Savior, my Lord and my God. That's right. Now, and John chapter 17 nails it to it. Nails it on into the wood, accurately, into the heart. Verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Why? That they may be one, even as we are one. They remember John 12, 43, they loved the praise, the glory of men more than the glory of God. God's glory is God's glory. The glory that I have, said our Lord, I have given to you. Now, how much more? and you would go and prefer the glory, the honor, the prestige, the position, the notoriety of friends, my Facebook, other books, and everything else. We got all our stuff. But where's God? God knows the difference. Wow. That's how God ends to the public. Sins. Awesome, isn't it? God said, listen, do you know what I've done for you? I've given you myself. Not given you a nice man to die on the cross. I've given you who I am. I am the infinite creator, the awesome one that creates and all those trillions of galaxies beyond it. I'm the God. And when you receive me, understand who I am. I'm not a little genie. I'm not a nice man. I'm God. I'm not your buddy. I'm God. I'm not trying to be your friend. I'm God. Your God. Your Savior. Awesome, isn't it? I think it is. Anyway, God help us. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. God, the little bit, what do we know? So thank you very much for caring, coming, and all that you're doing. God, it's so simple and easy, and you've said it so simply and clearly and consistently. And God, we just don't get it too many times. So deal with us. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for long before being angry. Thank you for the opportunity, our God, to fix things. Where would we be if you didn't give us another hour to fix things? Where on earth would we be? For our children and everyone. God, we got to show them the way to go. Not how we wish and how we feel, but how you want us to go in honoring your wonderful person in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let it be so in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for that. You may